Robots Radio. Games. Lore. Stories. Community. Just press play. The show is brought to you by our generous patrons at patreon.com/falloutlorecast.
Robots Radio presents
the Fallout Lorecast.
Welcome to the Fallout Lorecast, a place for the Fallout community to come together to explore the boundaries of our knowledge about the world of Fallout. That's right, friends. I'm switching up the hat today. I'm wearing a Nuka-Cola hat. You probably noticed. And welcome to the Fallout Lorecast. This is your host, Tom, or Robots, and friends, Vault Dwellers, Wastelanders, welcome back. Mios Pandora and or Lainey, can I call you both, is here with me as usual. How's it going?
It's going good. It's going good. Yeah. I'm gonna, I know we've been teasing this for 5 million months now, but actually, because I have so much time on my hands, I will start streaming soon. Big announcement, it'll happen possibly tomorrow.
Possibly tomorrow! And tomorrow would be the 24th. We're recording this
Sunday.
Friday.
Because we have plans tomorrow.
We do have plans tomorrow. Yeah, we're celebrating my mom and your grandmother. Funny how that works. It's her birthday today, actually, and we're going to be all getting together tomorrow to celebrate, which is fun because we all don't usually get to see each other. So, yeah, good times. Well, welcome everybody. We still haven't figured out a regular time to do these. You know what? Maybe we should. Can we ever put these back into an evening? Could we slot this back into an evening slot? Maybe like Tuesdays. Mm-hmm. Well, coming up, we have the patron episode next week, which I'm hoping to do on Tuesday nights, and maybe we can make that a regular time and start doing these on Tuesday nights again. So if you are interested in joining us, if you are one of our patrons, we're going to say thank you to you in the middle of the show as usual. But just a reminder, it's coming up on Tuesday. We got to start talking about what we want to talk about and things. We've been talking a little bit about it on Discord, but be sure to chime in, be aware. And if you are a tier 4 or higher patron, join us on Tuesday night this coming week. And if you're not a patron, you can always check it out live at twitch.tv/robotsradio or on YouTube. And so today, Lainey, we're talking about another Nightkin. There are three really interesting Nightkin in New Vegas. This is the last of the three. And I'll let you intro it. Who are we talking about?
All right. So we're talking about Davison. And some of you might not remember his name, but you might remember Antler.
That's the part I remember all the time.
Yeah.
Because Lainey's like, who's the other one we're going to talk about? Like, we're, you know, messaging each other. And I'm like, Antler. Because I couldn't remember Davison.
Yeah. Well, what's so funny is, like, totally unrelated to doing this podcast or, like, even talking about a topic for this episode, I had played that exact quest the day before we had the conversation, which is so funny. But you said Antler, and I was like, that's not his name.
That's not his name, but that was the name that's always the name that comes to mind. Is
that's
like
so funny
because Antler is the more interesting of the two pair, I guess.
Yeah, I suppose
the weirder of the two pair. I don't know. Anyway, yeah, that's who we're talking about. So so why don't we go ahead and kick this off? Where do we start with Davison's story?
Yeah, okay. So Davison, way forever ago, was part of a group of Nightkin that were like soldiers, right? He led a group. We've heard about all the Nightkin, you know, what positions they had in the Master's Army. This is just more of that. This was a troop that, of course, worked under the Master. But since 2162, you know, the fall of Unity and all that, they have just been wandering aimlessly. This is the same thing that essentially happened to Tabitha. You just have Nightkin not knowing what to do for hundreds of years. And so,
yeah. And I think that's interesting because they take that same story and they work it into different characters who have slightly different mental dilemmas because of this, or at least they. So, and some of these similar mental dilemmas that show themselves in different methods. I guess you could say that as well. So,
Go on. Okay, so pretty basic intro story in that regard, but I feel a little bit bad for Davison in kind of the same way that I feel for a lot of other Nightkin, which is that like some of them are terrible, but they're also tragic. You know, they've gone through a lot. They're dealing with some pretty rough mental illness. You know, it's a little difficult.
It's not really their fault. It's hard.
No, it's not their fault.
It's hard to be upset at people when they're terrible, but it's not their fault that they're terrible.
Right.
You know.
Right.
It is. Yeah. It is more. So, it is more piteous. That's not pitiful. I mean, I guess it's pitiful, but it's like Gandalf pitying Gollum.
Yeah.
Right. It's like, yeah, he was tempted. He stole the ring from his friend. He killed his friend. But at the same time, it was kind of the ring's fault. It's not really his fault. He couldn't have resisted it anyway. You know, like, yeah.
Yeah. So Davison, we all know that Nightkin in general, they were made to be like the best of the super mutants. And Davison, because he was supposed to be a Nightkin captain, which is, that's what he was. Mm-hmm. He was made to be one of the best of the Nightkin. And so this guy, you know, he like could have done great things, you know, whatever that means for a Nightkin. But of course, using Stealth Boys all the time did the same thing to him that it did to everyone else, where he started becoming delusional. The rest of the members of his troop started becoming delusional. And when the Master dies, the Nightkin are left wandering the wasteland and they don't really know what to do. And because of this, they lose their sense of purpose. And Davison believes that these mental illnesses that he's seeing in himself and the people he cares about mm-hmm. are not caused by their Stealth Boy use, but actually because of their lack of purpose. Which perhaps those things went hand in hand. Like, I'm sure the lack of purpose didn't help the mental illness. Sure. But definitely, like, there's definitely a lot more going on there than Davison was able to comprehend, I suppose.
Yeah, so I think this is an interesting thing in that without the ability to reduce things down to testing individual variables, oftentimes we have to just kind of pick and choose. We have to go, mm-hmm. okay, there's something wrong here, but what is causing it? Because they weren't sure. And these were intelligent super mutants. They're the Nightkin, right? So they're thinking through this like we do. And I go through the same thing. Like, I can't tell you, like, this is common knowledge. I suffer from a few different things, but one of them being migraines. And I don't necessarily know what are all the triggers for my migraines. And I have to try to figure them out. And I have to go with, like, hypotheses on these. Like, for a long time, I thought maybe it was caffeine because I drink a lot of caffeine. Well, it turns out if I don't drink caffeine, the migraines get worse. Like, when I tested this out and I went a few months without drinking caffeine, it didn't help. In fact, it was the opposite. Caffeine actually helps keep the migraines away. You could see in a situation that Davison is in here that he's going, okay, why are things getting worse? What's the most recent situation? The most recent situation is that we've got a bunch of super mutants without any meaning in their lives, without any purpose. So maybe that's what's causing it. So he's just trying to draw these connections between them, unaware that the real cause is the, you know, the Stealth Boys.
Yeah. So they're all having some trouble, right? And mm-hmm. while they're on this journey to wherever they're going, you know, they're just trying to figure out where they're going for hundreds of years. And along this journey, he picks up this Brahmin skull. And at this point, he not only is delusional, but he's becoming incredibly paranoid, very distrustful. And, you know, he's really spiraling. And so the next step in the spiral for him is that he finds this Brahmin skull and begins to believe that it is communicating with him and telling them what to do, advising him and his other Nightkin on what their next steps should be, you know. Mm-hmm. And he believes that the Brahmin skull, he calls it Antler. That Antler wants them to find more Stealth Boys.
I love that.
That's what he believes.
He has a simple name. It's just Antler.
It's just like, Antler.
Yeah, I love that.
So, you know, they're on this journey. And also, they stop
wait. Hold on. There's another thing here I wanted to point out. Sorry to interrupt. It's cute that it's named Antler, but it's funny that Antler confirms the thing that he himself already wants.
Right.
Like, right. This is another human psychology thing. Oftentimes, just an example here. How many times did I realize in college I was a part of a very, so I I was in college for philosophy and for religious studies. So I was involved with a lot of these religious organizations, you know, good Christian kids doing like good things. And how many times I heard somebody say, well, I prayed about it a lot and God wants me to marry that girl. And it's like, I think you want you to marry that girl. You're just kind of positing your own wants on the external source to yourself. Right. And that's very much what's happening here. I think is that Davison is inserting his own wants, you know, onto Antler. So the Antler is telling him what he wants to hear, but it's really just himself confirming for himself what he wants to hear. Right. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. So he's listening to Antler and they're traveling, right? And they stop in Jacobstown. And Jacobstown's kind of interesting because the mayor there is Marcus from the last episode that attempted to help Tabitha and introduced her to the computer that she would begin her radio show on. Mm-hmm. And so it's kind of funny that like you hear about him again. You know, he's pretty influential across multiple Nightkin stories, but he's just a super mutant. So it's cool, but he's a mayor now and they stop in Jacobstown. And just like before with Tabitha, Marcus is very helpful and very kind and takes them in and wants to, you know, help them get better. And unfortunately, with the guidance of Antler, they don't stay very long. And so Marcus, once again, doesn't really get to help anyone out and they leave. And what's interesting is at this point, the Nightkin are actually starting to feel better. And, you know, I think you could posit that to being like the sense of purpose is benefiting them. You know, they feel like they have something to do now. They feel like they have something that they're going towards. Although if it's just the Stealth Boys, isn't that what they wanted? Probably anyway. Right. Like they probably already were looking for Stealth Boys, but right. Now they really believe in it because they have leadership, I suppose. And yeah, so well, this it is
redoubles
helping them.
It redoubles the confirmation that that's the thing they should be doing.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it probably helps for like motivation and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So they, you know, they're feeling a little bit better, and Antler is having an interesting effect on Davison as well, because Davison would usually try to brute force his way through pretty much any scenario. And
well, he is a super mutant.
Right. This is just, you know, he's just being a super mutant. And what's interesting is through being able to talk through Antler, you know, or, you know, he believes Antler's talking to him. Mm. He is able to think more rationally and come up with real plans about things they're going to do in the future, you know, what their next steps are. Mm-hmm. And he's able to, like, take time, you know, really processing, like, these other ideas rather than just becoming impatient and charging in like a super mutant. Which is really interesting.
It's like an external reflection source to actually slow down and think through things a little bit, even though it's really just himself.
It's just him. Yeah. It's so interesting. Yeah. So, Davison, even when you talk to him in the game, he'll tell you that after having Antler around, just everyone is doing better. Things have been going really well for his Nightkin. You know, he'll let you know.
It's one of those weird situations where like mental illness is actually helpful.
Yeah. It's kind of weird. Well, and you know, like, they say when someone is like, delusional, when they're having delusions, I suppose, you probably don't want to break them, you know, because sometimes they just really believe that what's happening is true, and it can cause them more harm if you're just like freaking them out because you know it's not, you know. So I think in this scenario, if you were to go in and be like, this is just a Brahmin skull, like whatever, probably Davison would get really mad and then it might shatter the morale of the entire group, you know.
Yeah.
So it's just really interesting. So yeah, so with his newfound, I don't know, planning skills, he decides that they are really going to charge in on these Stealth Boys and figure out what they can do. And when looking for other, I don't know, evidence of Stealth Boys, they come across this documentation of a shipment of 144 Stealth Boys to the Repcon test site. And so this is where they decide to go, right? And the issue with going to the Repcon test site is that the Bright Brotherhood has taken up residence there. And if you don't know what the Bright Brotherhood is, they're a cult of ghouls. Ghouls. I don't say ghouls.
It's a cult of ghouls.
Ghouls.
It's a cult of gals. It's a cult of gals. It's a cult of women from the 90s.
Hey, it's like little ghouls. Hey, girl.
Hey, gal.
So, this cult of ghouls includes a human, and this human truly believes that they're a ghoul, and they've been able to stay because they truly believe that they're a ghoul, but everyone else knows that they're not. They're just a human, and there's no convincing them.
We haven't done them yet. We need to talk about them.
We can dive into that a little bit more.
In the future, yeah.
So there's part of, this isn't the only place that the Bright Brotherhood is existing in the Wasteland, but this is just one location. And so it's a bunch of ghouls and one human, and they all, their big mission, they all want to escape the barbaric wasteland, is how they see it. And they believe that they will be able to take ships, spaceships, to the great beyond. Mm-hmm. Except for Chris, the human, he's not allowed to come.
Right.
They'll let him into the cult, but they won't let him go to the great beyond.
Yeah, it's pretty good. Funny. It's pretty good. Have you played through this part of the game yet? I know you're working your way through New Vegas. Have you actually played through this part yet?
Not through all the, like, the Bright Brotherhood stuff, but like I said, I just played through the Davis and stuff last week.
Right. Yeah. So there's a few different ways.
Yeah, but you meet
where
one of them.
Right. So the part with the spaceships, and I don't want to spoil too much of it for you. I know you've been researching stuff, so some of that spoils it anyway. But the part of the spaceship stuff can play out a few different ways. And I guess that's all I'll say. I don't want to spoil it for you. I thought this was a fun bit of the game. But hopefully you get to enjoy that part soon.
Yeah. So they go to the Repcon test site, you know, and of course the Bright Brotherhood is in there. And when a bunch of Night can storm a place, I guess you can assume what happens. They killed a bunch of them. It's really that simple.
They
killed a bunch. That's what happens. Well, I mean, you do not want to be raided by super mutants.
Yeah, especially Nightkin, like intelligent, invisible
super mutants. Yeah, Nightkin, who are looking for a thing they're addicted to, and they believe that you have it.
Right.
Like,
that sounds pretty
terrifying.
You don't
want to be in the way of that. Yeah.
Right. You know, this is one of those things that I think we don't do enough of, because we see these things in like comic kind of proportions, or like we think of them as a video game thing, right? But like, imagine you're sitting in your home right now, or your office, and all of a sudden that front door opens and these creatures, invisible, muscly, Hulk-like creatures larger than the door frame, squeeze into the room and start shooting and murdering everybody. Like, that, what do you do? What do you even do?
Your chances aren't good.
Yeah, no, not at all. Sorry, go on.
I think this is a good spot for the middle of the show, because after this point is where you come in.
Yeah, after this point is where you, the player, come in. But this point actually is the place where we, the show, let the patrons come. I'll just go on to it. Here we go.
Hello there, old chap. Good to see another of General Atomic's finest, still eager to serve.
Sometimes I'm really good at transitions. Welcome to the middle of the show. This is the part where we get to thank our patrons for being here and helping to support us. Big thanks to Pie Man, who says he is our Liberty Prime, our tier 6 patron, and will always be, and is not planning to give up that rank anytime soon. So, sorry, friends, if you're trying to steal that rank, there's only one of those. You can't have it because Pie Man has it. Also, big thank you to Devin A and Stagger and Stumble, our new tier 5 patron. Thank you and welcome to the Patreon. And of course, all of our other patrons, thank you for supporting the show. You are phenomenal. Lainey and I wouldn't be able to do this without you guys. And we're super excited to have you join us. Those of you who are tier 4 or higher, you've got a few days left. We're going to be doing our patron episode just this coming week on Tuesday. So come join us. Throw some concepts into the Discord. Let us know what you want to talk about. We can cover a topic that we've talked about in the past and revisit it, because so many of you guys are new. So we could always do something like that. So just let us know what you think. And thank you to all of our patrons. You guys are amazing. If you are considering helping to support the show, then we'd love to have your support. We'd also love to give you some of the things that you get, like ad-free episodes and discounts on the gear store and all sorts of things. So if we've done a good job helping keep you entertained, helping your workday go by, your commute feel shorter, any of that stuff, and you want to give back, then check out patreon.com/followatlorecast for all the different things that you can get for helping to support us. We would really appreciate it. So thank you to all of our patrons. You guys are the best.
Are you an avid player of The Elder Scrolls Online and looking to take your game to that next level? Well, the Red Diamond Courier podcast is here to help. I'm Bob Chachinski.
And I'm DogBark24.
We are two experienced players aiming to help others learn and improve through in-game knowledge and references.
From PvE
to PvP
and everything in between.
There's sure to be something for you in the Red Diamond Courier.
We hope you check us out. Thanks.
If you have any questions about Nuka World, I'd be delighted to answer them.
What's that, Antler? We have a visitor. An assassin, more like. I say kill it, Antler, for safe's sake. Okay, Antler, I'll ask. Hi, human. Why you come here?
So this is the point where we show up, and maybe that'll... I love listening to the audio from the game.
Yeah.
And then like the memories, even just listening to the audio of it, you like get the picture in your head of like Davison standing there behind his desk and Antler on the table. And, you know, the first time I played through this part, I just kind of blasted through everybody because... I don't remember why I justified that, but I think I was just scared of them all. And I was like, I'm just going to kill them all, because New Vegas was only the second game that I'd played through in the Fallout franchise, right? I'd played Fallout 3, played Fallout New Vegas was next. And I think I was like, I'm just going to kill them with fire. I'm just going to destroy these guys. They're terrible, scary. But then the idea that like, oh, there's more going on here was, you know, later on when I played through it again, I would get more of the details, but yeah, that's how I started it. So where do we go from here, Lainey?
So Davison's Nightkin, they went in, you know, and they tried to clear out the Repcon test site, and they did a pretty good job, except for the basement, where Harland, a member of the Bright Brotherhood, he's a ghoul, he is living in the basement, and you know, he just is trying to defend himself. He doesn't really know what's going on or why they're there. You know, they just stormed in and he doesn't know where any of his other friends are, like the Bright Brotherhood members. They're all gone. So he's staying in the basement and you can talk to him. And he's behind a bunch of traps. You know, he's like very skilled in setting traps. So he has a bunch of traps set up and he has his rifle and he's just waiting. And he says that he's been living off of rad roach meat and condensation from the pipes. Nasty.
Nasty. That is not a way to
not
live.
Not ideal.
That is like fear, in fear of invisible super mutants attacking you and having to live off of those as your food sources.
Ooh. Yeah. Yeah. That's not great. Oh. But Davison, when you're talking to him about all this, he says he doesn't want to push through the traps and he doesn't want to deal with Harland because this ghoul isn't as, quote, squishy as the other ones. And so he doesn't want to deal with it, but he believes that the stealth boys might be in there, right? Because he hasn't found them yet and they've looked through the whole rest of the place. It's just the basement. And so you can decide to help them or not help, you know, whatever you want to do. Mm-hmm. And... it's really interesting because Davison, the fact that he even lets you try to help him at all is, I think, only because he has Antler. I think that in any other scenario, like if you had gone in there and they were like freaking out and looking for things, they would have just been acting like super mutants. But because of Antler, he's able to talk to you and be like, well, I don't think it's a great idea to go attack the school and right. Go through the traps and stuff. And he's like able to reason about it, which is really interesting and really cool, I think. Other than the, you know, it all being delusional. There's a couple things you can do with Harland, the ghoul. Of course, you can kill him if you want to. but there is a nicer way of helping him. I mentioned that he doesn't know where his friends are, and he assumes most of them are dead, but there's one in particular that he got separated from and he wants you to check up on. She doesn't have a name, but this is a female ghoul, and if you go around, you know, the rest of the site and you look for her, there's this Nightkin jailer who was keeping ghoul prisoners, and you find her dead body. Which is, yeah, it's very sad. So you can go and tell Harlan, and you find out that the only reason Harlan was even staying there goes because he thought people were still in the building and that he might be able to find them. And so if you tell him this, he'll just leave. And the idea is that he leaves, he escapes.
He's like, peace, I'm out. That's tragic, but I'm going to go.
He doesn't need to be there anymore. So he figures out how to escape. He escapes. And from what I read, it says that he gets to rejoin the Bright Brotherhood, which is cool. Mm-hmm. So that's really neat. And as far as the Night King go, if you are able to find evidence that the shipment went to the wrong place and was actually moved, and so it was never supposed to go to the Repcon test site in the first place, mm-hmm. And it has been relocated, and they don't know that, but if you inform them of it, then they'll leave, you know. But let's say you don't do any of that. Let's say you go in, perhaps like you did, and you're just scared.
And I just blasted them. Yeah.
Right. So there's a couple of different ways this could go. If you just outright kill most of Davison's Nightkin, maybe don't touch him, but you're like killing everyone else, this will upset him, of course, and he will become hostile and he will fight you back. Not mm-hmm. a great idea. Nope. But there is a way to kind of cheat your way out of this fight where it's a bug in the game. If you use a stealth boy and he can't detect you anymore, he'll return to being neutral. And if he can still see your companion, it doesn't work. But if your companion is Lily Bowen, then she will also use a stealth boy and then he'll become neutral, right? Because he can't see either of you. Which is really interesting.
Handy.
And once he's neutral again, you can, you know, pop back up and just talk to him, and he'll just kind of mournfully talk about his dead friends. Which is sad.
Yeah. That's also weird. Yeah. That's like he just disappeared and then reappeared and he's like cool now.
Yeah. Yeah. He just chills out. Like, yeah. Right.
I guess you're one of us. Like, you can be invisible too. It's fine.
Yeah. I wonder. That's funny. If you kill all of the other Nightkin without killing Davison and he doesn't see you killing them, then he will just be sad. And he'll talk to you about how he's all alone and he doesn't know what happened to his friends. It's really sad.
That's almost the most tragic one of all of them. It's like you murder everybody and then you show up and you're like, hey, buddy, why so sad? And he's like, oh, my friends died. I don't know what happened. And you're like, yeah, that sucks, pal.
It's really sad. It does suck.
Oh, no.
Poor Davison.
Poor Davison. At least he's got antlers still.
Right. So, okay. So if you're playing through, and let's say you're walking around, you don't totally know what's going on yet. You talk to Harlan and you're like, okay, I'm going to find your buddy. And you go and you find the dead lady in the jailer. Mm-hmm. And let's say you decide that you're very angry, and so you want to kill the jailer first.
Yes.
If you kill the jailer, there's like a random chance that that Davison will either be hostile or not. So sometimes you can kill the jailer and you can like take whatever he has, you know, and like leave. Uh-huh. And sometimes you kill him and then you just get murdered. So, you know, hit or miss. You can try whatever you want to do. And then this one's pretty funny and also a bit buggy. If you mess with Antler at all, the way that it is coded, the way it is programmed in the game, is that if Antler shifts from its spot in any direction, even a tiny fraction of a bit.
So if you like bump the table, like, okay, yeah. So you know how
Davison freaks out.
Yeah, you know how the physics is always buggy in these things. Like you'll have like, I don't know, I need two things. Okay, so here's two things, right? You have two things and they're like sitting apart from each other and you pick one of them up and the other one goes and just kind of moves. And you're like, I didn't touch that. Why did it move? Yeah, that could trigger it.
Yeah. So if you, you know, the idea is if you shoot or punch or bomb or even pick up the skull, of course, Davison will turn hostile. But because of this bug, not only if you bump it, but if Davison himself bumps it or anyone, Davison will become hostile. So if he hits his own buddy, he becomes hostile towards you.
Right. Right.
Which it doesn't make any sense. And it's this like... happened in my playthrough.
Oh, did it? It's
and I. Yeah, it was so weird. So there's a part, there's some other room we were in, and we like messed with a trap, right? Because there's traps in the building, and we hit one, and it must have just like jostled the world in such a way that Antler moved. Because we go back up, all the other Nightkin are just chilling, and he's immediately shooting at us. We're like, okay. What happened? It didn't make any sense.
Now this may explain some of the like oddities that I've encountered a few times, I think, running through this, is that, yeah, like that, like, why are you just, you talked to me last time I played through this, why did you attack me this time? And that would explain it. It also gives you this perception of, like, the bully who gives him his own justification for doing the thing. Like, if anyone touches this, oh, I touched it, I guess I get to punch you in the face. You know, it's like, yeah, that's not fair. It doesn't have to be fair. Yeah. It's, I know that that's more than what's actually happening here, but it kind of makes me think that, like, oh, what if he's actually moving it himself on purpose?
Yeah, it's pretty funny.
Yeah, yeah.
So, oh, yeah.
That's funny.
Well, that's Davison. And that's, I mean, Davison. In any of those scenarios, I mean, you can kill him or not kill him. That's Fallout for you. If you just want to run around and shoot people, you can.
Yeah, you can. You can, but you're going to miss a lot of the story. But that's fine if that's just what you want to do. So we've talked about three of these like Nightkin characters so far. Do you have a preference of the three of them? I mean, they're all kind of tragic, but interesting in their own ways.
Lily is just generally good, you know. Yeah. She's a sweetheart. She has like her bad voice or whatever, but other than that, like, she loves her grandchildren. She wants to take care of her herd, you know. She's just living the good life.
Right. I love that. I love that she's turned into a Nightkin, and yet she still maintains those aspects of her personality, which is interesting.
Yeah.
Do you find one to be the most tragic of the three? So we got Lily, right? We've got Tabitha, the radio host, and then we've got Davison with Antler.
I think I may also find Lily the most tragic because she's so sweet and because, like, you know, I mean, her outcome can just be really sad and awful because she could lose herself entirely.
Yeah.
But you do see that with the other ones as well. And I think that Tabitha is, you know, they're all kind of tragic in their own ways. Like with Lily, it's tragic because she's so kind. With Tabitha, it's tragic because she is truly just out of her mind and she misses her friend. And it's like, you know, but then if you fix her friend, she's fine after. It's like this weird thing going on there, but it's also very sad that she's going through that.
Suffering and not able to solve those things for herself.
And then Davison is just, I mean, he just feels like an example of like, this is what Stealth Boy used will do to you for after 100 years.
This,
like,
is your brain. This is your brain, like, on Stealth Boy.
This is your brain on Stealth Boys. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I don't know that he is. I think that you could make his story tragic if you kill all his friends, but his is just unfortunate. I think, I don't know that I really hold it to the same regard as like Lily.
Yeah, it's, I mean, just in general, like, super mutants in general are such a tragic thing because so many of them didn't sign up for the trials. Like, so many of them were just forced into it. We see them as these monsters and these things to be, you know, feared. And if you're pro Brotherhood and you're like, okay, only humans, then they're things to be removed from the wasteland and for good reason, you know, like, but they're also, each one of them contains their own tragic and unfortunate stories. And so there's such a wealth of tragic and unfortunate stories. And so much of the Fallout universe is based around these tragic and unfortunate stories. This is like the hardships that we have to go through. Even the main protagonists in these stories all suffer their own tragedies. You know, whether you're looking for your father or, and you were raised in a vault that was basically lying to you about the, you know, the state of the world, or you have your spouse and your child taken from you, or as the courier, you know, you're shot in the head and left for dead. You know, all of these things are tragic, unfortunate stories that involve the wasteland. The Nightkin are interesting, though, because they do retain so much of their own personalities, or at least they did. And even though they are unwillingly turned into these monsters, these super human soldiers that are very aggressive, they still maintain a certain amount of their own personality in ways that many of the other super mutants just don't. So is that more tragic? This idea that, like, they maintain some of their humanity in the midst of all of that. What do you think?
Well, I mean, obviously they are maintaining that humanity. That was on purpose, right? They were designed in a way that they thought that the people who created them believed that by letting them still have their memories and think somewhat like a normal human, mm-hmm. that it would be an advantage. You know, they'd be able to figure out situations in more delicate ways or whatever the advantage of having some human left in you is. I don't know. But
would you rather in this situation be a Nightkin and suffer all of these things, including the potential mental illness and the unawareness of what's causing it? Because we see Davison struggle with that. He's trying to figure out, like, okay, what he notices. He's smart enough to notice, like, hey, all of these terrible things are happening. Why are they happening? And then he tries to make changes to deal with that, but doesn't realize that it's the very thing that he wants the most, which is emphasized by Antler. That's the thing that's causing them to suffer. And if he was able to cut that off, then at least he could end the downgrading of their mental, you know, situation. Right. I mean, they're still already damaged, but, you know, unfortunately, Nightkin don't,
most of them don't want to be perceived because they've been invisible for so long.
Right.
So even if they could stop using them, that would be a whole other issue.
Right. Which is a drug thing. It's a drug analogy, right? This idea of like, you're either going to suffer the consequences with it or without it. Either way, it's a rock and a hard place. Things are not going to necessarily be great either way. So I guess the question is, would you rather the long decline, maintaining your intelligence and some of your personality and being aware of that decline? Or would you rather just being a super mutant and at some point, you know, much earlier in this development, the you part is just gone?
I think definitely the super mutant. And it makes me think of when, you know, think of like a zombie apocalypse, right? And it's like, do you try to survive and risk becoming a zombie, or do you just die? You know?
Yeah.
Those are your options.
This is, and I find this to be a very interesting question. Like how long do you stay in the terrible situation just to survive and to have some semblance of something, even though you're suffering all the way through it? And, and at what point is this is, I guess this even opens up and not spoilers, but warning here, emotional types of conversation, but, you know, the right to suicide or something like that. This connects to those kinds of things too. Like, if you truly are suffering, at what point do you have the right to just end it for yourself? And I know that's like, it's still not a good situation. Nobody's going to be happy with that solution. People are going to be very sad. The people who love you are going to be very sad. But at the end of the day, it's your own life. Like, don't you have the right to take it away? Like, I don't know.
Well, especially and I'm not saying possibly turn into something terrible.
Right. And I'm not saying like there isn't an easy answer here. That's the point of this. I'm not saying one answer is better than the other. I think this is something that everybody has to figure out on their own, you know, because it's difficult, you know, like in those situations. And then that connects to like regular life situations. At what point is your own life tragic and falling apart to the point where you just don't, you can't fix it? And then what do? You know, like, you know, it's a really dark concept, but that's what these games tackle, are these dark concepts. And this is what we get called out on fairly often, people are like, oh, you're being political. And it's like, no, we're just talking about the topics in the games. The games, the topics in the games themselves are political. And guess what? I have my own stance on politics. So surprise, you know, but like, that's just the way this stuff goes. And it brings about these conversations. And that is a good thing. We should be talking about these kinds of things. We should be struggling with this conversation together, politely, respectfully. We should be talking politics politely, respectfully, in order to hash it out and figure out what holds the most water, you know?
Yeah, not for the sake of like having different opinions and like getting your opinion across, but for the sake of like exploring, you know?
Right,
it's like, oh,
right.
What are the things you could think, you know? Yeah. It's good to be informed, I think. But yeah, back to the, would you rather be a super mutant or not? When I think about the zombie comparison, obviously you don't really, well, you didn't get a choice in either scenario, but the zombie thing, you know, you can try and defend yourself against it. I assume that if they're going to turn you into a super mutant, you don't really have a choice. Mm-hmm. And so there's a key difference there. But, you know, I just think people don't know. Well, and obviously zombies don't exist, but in, you know, zombie media, there's always this idea of, if you are a zombie, are you still in there? Right.
Right. Right.
Are you just right. externally zombie and like you're still in your brain somewhere? Like, who knows? Right. Right? And so
right. And the idea, if there was a chance to bring you back, would it be harmful to you to kill you before that happens? Like, that's yeah. that's always part of the debate. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and like, you know, you think about family and it's like, oh, my mom turned into a zombie and I don't want to kill her, you know,
right.
but like right. this, she's dangerous. So like, what do you do? Like, is she in there? Is she not? So
and when is it comes she suffering? To super mutants, would it actually be kind to kill her and right. put her out of her misery? Yeah.
When it comes to super mutants, you kind of see both sides of that with Nightkin versus super mutants, because super mutants, obviously they don't have their humanity anymore, but who knows if it's still in there. But at least if you're existing at them, like this is the zombie scenario where you are not inside, right? And mm-hmm. you're a zombie, but your life has ended. You are zombie is post you.
Yeah, right.
You know? And so that seems more tolerable in terms of becoming a zombie than becoming a zombie where you are still in there and you know that you're doing these terrible things. And so I think, you know, that is that difference is the difference between super mutants and Nightkin. And for that reason, I would not want to be a Nightkin.
Yeah. 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 It's a tough choice. But, you know, at the same time, like, you're like, how much of you still in there if you're just a super mutant?
Or, I don't know.
You know, but even if your memories are gone, if it's still you going through the motions and doing things, aren't you still experiencing it? Are you still doing terrible things and being terrible? Wouldn't it be just better not to be? I don't know. It's such a dilemma. I would love to hear what our listeners think about this. Of course, you guys can reach out to us on the yeah. Robots Radio Discord or on our Twitter accounts. I'm at robots_radio.
Also.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, okay. If we're just on the same train of thought, Nightkin, right? And all of them, but I think particularly Nightkin because they do still think kind of like people. Mm-hmm. After Unity fell and they're wandering, and you have to think, okay, so this Davison's group in particular wandered for over 100 years without finding a sense of purpose or a place to just stay, you know?
Right.
And in that, it's like, okay, if you're going to live for hundreds of years, how long are you going to just deal with nothing? You know, yeah. you can live forever if you want to, but like, it's like being a vampire. It's like, okay, that sounds awesome, except you have to live forever.
At what point is it a tragedy? Like, at what point yeah. does living become a task and not an enjoyable thing? Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that's a wonderful question. Like, I think that's also probably a good reason why humans don't live forever is that, like, I think a lot of, like, I've had this conversation with people and they're like, no, I'd always find new things to do. And my stance on this is no, you won't. Like, there will come a point where new stuff just isn't, or is so far spaced between events that at some point you're just going to get tired of existing. I'm pretty sure at some point you're just going to be done with it. I think it's the rare person who would be able to live forever and be cool with it. I think that maybe there are some people out there who can do that, but most of us will live our lives and then we'll get past a point where we find joy out of living anymore, and eventually would just be ready to be done. And you see this in humans. Like, some people are like this by the end of their life. It's more rare than it isn't, but some people just feel like, you know what? I lived a good life, and if I'm done, I'm done. It's cool, you know?
And yeah, I think also if you're gonna live forever, are you outliving your friends? Because I feel like I could deal with the boredom. I feel like I could deal with finding things to do, but mm-hmm. it's the connections. Like, are you gonna have to reinvent yourself every 50 years? Like,
right. Like, yeah, once everyone you care about. Like, how many times can you build relationships where you care about other people for them only to go away over and over and over and over again? How many times can you deal with that trauma? We talked about our mom because it's her birthday today. She and my dad recently lost their dog. And my dad is at the point where he doesn't want another dog because he doesn't want to have to go through that heartache one more time, because they've had lots of dogs over their lives. And they've loved their dogs. They've been great dog owners. But he's at the point where he's just like, and it's kind of like that, right? Like, If you get a new dog, it's only going to last so long. And a human's lifespan is multiple times the lifespan of any dog. So if you do this enough times, eventually you get to the point where you're just like, I don't know if I really want to do that again. I don't know if I want to deal with that heartbreak again. I'm kind of done with that. Again, this is an interesting dilemma, and I'd love to hear people's thoughts on this, because, you know, like, and I don't know that we've explored this enough with ghouls and supermutants, especially ghouls. Mm-hmm.
Because, ghouls are definitely like the closer zombie metaphor.
Right. But like, so many of them don't suffer the negative effects. You know, most of them go crazy and they attack you in the wasteland, right?
Well, but there are people in settlements. They suffer the negative physical effects.
Right. But not the mental ones. Yeah. And they get the benefits of potentially living forever. Maybe, we don't really know, you know, you know, and then there's the question of, Katamari Junkie in chat says, I don't care. I don't ever want to not exist. I get that. I totally get that. But I think the fear of not existing is like when you're sleeping and you're not dreaming. Like, think back to last night. At some point, you didn't realize you were existing. That's what it feels like. Like, to sleep is to be dead sometimes.
That's like, who was, is it? There's some like religion philosopher that talked about death and dreaming, mm-hmm. and how it's the closest you ever get to spirituality because they're like essentially the same thing.
Yeah.
It was interesting.
Right. But yeah, to sleep is to be dead sometimes. It's about as close as we get, or you know, to be like actually knocked out by drugs or something where your brain's not, you know, going into REM sleep or something. But anyway, man, this got really dark. I hope you guys enjoyed this episode. But that's where this stuff goes. This is why the Fallout universe is so interesting, is because it brings us into these like existential dilemmas, these philosophical topics, political topics, whatever. It really brings us into these discussions. So thanks for being here with us. Lainey, do you have anything else to share before we head out? I know you said you're going to start streaming again. What's your plan? Streaming.
Maybe Sunday.
Woo. Sunday night? Okay. Sunday night? Like, what do you think?
We'll
days,
see.
Nights?
I'll, you know.
To see how it goes?
It'll happen, and then I'll post it somewhere.
Sweet.
Probably in my Discord. So join that. Yes, Pandora.
You're going to be playing some Fallout?
Maybe I might try New Vegas, but of course it crashes sometimes. So we'll see how that goes. But yeah, I mean, that's an option. I think I might play Apex at some point with a friend of mine. We'll see. But there's a variety of games that happen at my channel. I teased this before, but I have a bunch of indie games that I like trying, and those streams are a lot mm-hmm. more casual, you know, because we're just exploring these games together. Just really fun. Some of them are terrible. Some of them are really great, and you never know until you try them.
right. Yeah, there's a bunch of games I've been wanting to play too, and I've had migraines for like 3 days out of this last week. Today I'm feeling better. I got better, but I go back to the doctor next week. I'm gonna see if I can change out some drugs and things. Also, I get the weirdest dreams. I've mentioned this before. My last dream that I had, I completely invented an 80s movie that I was 100% sure that I'd seen before, and was rewatching it with a friend that I haven't actually been in contact, or at least physically been around, for 4 years now. But in my mind, I was like, oh, you never saw that movie? We need to watch it. And then we sat and watched the movie together. and I went through the entire plot of the film in my head, and it's a movie that never existed. I'm pretty sure it's not a real film, and yet somehow I created it in my subconscious. Drugs, not once. But anyway, if these drugs are not really helping me with my migraines anymore, it's time to change it up, because I'm done with those weird, weird movie dreams, weird life dreams, weird whatever dreams I get.
Dude, so, I get weird dreams too. It's a symptom of bipolar, I've learned, where before I'm going to be manic, I have like really crazy, mostly nightmares for a week.
Oh,
it's nuts.
That's weird. I didn't know about that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, well, strange.
I'm sorry about that. That's crazy. I hope the streams aren't too bad. But that said, that's one of the reasons why I haven't been able to stream games as much as I would like to lately. But I'm hoping to be able to do that. I'm even hoping to, if I'm up in the middle of the night, be able to do like one of these like just super chill middle of the night streams where I whisper so I don't wake people up. It'll be like ASMR. Ooh, playing games. Yeah, in the middle of the night.
ASMR. Wow, oh, that no, didn't.
That's not.
I stumbled over that real
we'll
bad.
We'll see if I can manage something like that. That'll be fun. Also, you guys know me. I'm always working on some new projects. Me and Dave Chaffins from the Fallout Hub are working on an SCP project, and we're about ready to launch it. If you don't know what SCP is, it's a bunch of basically fan fiction. It's like a wiki where a bunch of people write in their own articles for like weird anomalies and all sorts of
like eldritch beings,
creepy stuff. Yeah, paranormal stuff. It's kind of incredible. it's a bunch of really cool stuff, and we're gonna do a project around that, where he's like a wacky professor and I'm an insider in the SCP Foundation, leaking information out. And I think you guys are going to enjoy it. It's going to be in podcast form, but also video form. So this is going to be more video than we would normally do. It's more than just like talking head to format like we do for most of these shows. So I think you guys are going to really enjoy that stuff. So stay tuned for that. It's going to be really cool. I think it's going to be cheesy, but also creepy at the same time. Wonderful combination of stuff. So stay tuned. We'll give you more information about that when it comes out. So Lainey's excited. She likes this stuff. All right. Well, thank you everybody for joining us. I guess that's it for this week. We'll be back on Tuesday nights, and that might be our new time from now on with our patrons. So we'll see you then. Thanks for joining us live, everybody. Have a good rest of your weekend, or at least all of your weekend, because it's just about to start for most of you. And we'll see you next time. All right, everybody. See you later. To plug into everything else we're doing, check out robotsradio.net. Also, look up the Robots Radio YouTube for videos about Fallout and other things. And check us out on Twitter, twitter.com/robotsradio.
You've been listening to a Robots Radio podcast. Smart shows for interesting people. Check out all the shows at robotsradio.net.
Hey, I'm Pylon.
And I'm Doc.
And if you've ever played an Elder Scrolls game, you've probably used UESP.net to help you find information about a quest, dive deeper into lore, or really learn anything about the Elder Scrolls.
But did you know we have a podcast too? Every week we bring you the latest in Elder Scrolls news, dig deeper into topics surrounding the game, and have a ton of fun while doing it.
You can find us on your favorite podcatcher by searching the unofficial Elder Scrolls podcast. Can't wait to see you all there.
Have you ever wondered how deep the Elder Scrolls lore rabbit hole goes? Have you got a grasp of the basics and want to find out more about the universe? Written in Uncertainty is here to help you. We'll be mixing in philosophy, theology, and whatever other theory is useful with Elder Scrolls texts to untangle some of the biggest questions in the series, like what are Dragonbreaks, how does Chim work, where did the Dwemer go, and more. Check us out at writteninuncertainty.com or find Written in Uncertainty on any podcatcher. Thanks for listening, and catch you later in the grey maybe of Tamriel.